And welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out the VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. Good. You weren't in studio with me last week, so I didn't get an opportunity to say Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
So what does 2022 look like for you? Got any resolutions? Or you're not a resolutions guy, right?
No, I'm not really a resolutions guy, but I am a guy that tries to look to the future and see where the Lord's leading. And where I think the Lord is leading is a whole lot of people are waking up. And so we want to continue to discern the truth versus the lies. And we're going to talk about that today and where we're headed in 2022. I mean, even just Friday, the lies coming out of the Supreme Court, and we'll talk about that later. There's four or five just bald face. I mean, this is the top of our judiciary branch. And they're saying there's 100,000 seriously ill kids. Anyways, I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I promised my staff I would start the top of this show, and they could reference this show to folks that are calling our clinic and emailing our clinic wanting to be a patient. So we're going to talk about that real quick. We're definitely going to do things different in 2022. And for those of you who have been on a waiting list, we had about 700 people on a waiting list.
My gosh, 700?
Yes. A lot of people are looking for, this is what I'm talking about, their eyes are being opened. For those that have ears to hear it and see it, they're seeing the deception and the counterfeit in that system of the world. And I'm talking about the quote-unquote healthcare system. It's a sick care system. All they do is manage symptoms. And I'm praying for those folks who are overworked, all the understaffed facilities. I've got more resumes on my desk, people leaving that system and want to come. I've had so many meetings with people wanting to set up an alternative healthcare system, like a parallel economy, a parallel society, a parallel healthcare system. So we're going to talk about that also today. But these folks on the waiting list, if you've been on the waiting list, we've sent emails out to that entire 700 people. So if you didn't get it, look in your spam box or your junk mail or email info@VeritasMedical and ask for the introductory email to our new education program. So here's what we're doing. If you want to see a medical practitioner at Veritas, which our goal actually is for you to never have to see one, and our goal truly is for you to get well and never need a doctor, and to never, ever need any doctor, us or anyone else, and we want to educate you and support you into that position where you don't have to worry about ICUs and hospitals and Medicare and health insurance and all that stuff. That's a reality. You cannot worry about any of that. You can be well. But what we're going to do is have you come into Veritas Wellness Education. So every potential new patient for Veritas Medical is first going to have to meet with a wellness navigator. That's our version of a health coach. And those wellness navigators are going to meet with you for a one-hour visit. And then there's a daily Zoom meeting where you can continue to meet with them and have your questions answered. There'll be a page with all the resources you need, from recipes and meal plans and you name it. And you'll have ample opportunity to meet with those wellness navigators as much as you want. And for whatever amount of money you can afford, it's going to be a free will offering basis. This is probably worth, I don't know, I see some places charging thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars, but we feel a burden and an obligation that we can't charge, put a price on teaching the truth and sharing the truth with people. But the reason I'm doing this, not only because it's the right thing to do, it's the best way to steward the patient's health, their finances, their time, their resources. It's just the right thing, period. The deception and the counterfeit is that the doctor has the cure, the doctor will fix you, the doctor has all the answers, I need to see a doctor, when that's not true. The doctor can only treat symptoms, and there's a time and place for symptomatic treatment. But 90% of people that come to our clinic get well when they implement the diet and lifestyle changes that are conducive to cellular health. And I know it's really hard for people to understand when they're calling our clinic and they've been sick for 20 years with whatever disease. I see it all the time. If they will start an anti-inflammatory diet and lifestyle, their inflammation will go down. And many times that translates to their blood pressure goes down, their blood sugar goes down, their cholesterol normalizes, their joints feel better, their chronic fatigue goes away, their fibromyalgia aches and pains, their autoimmune diseases start to calm down and even go into remission. It just happens. So instead of waiting for 6 months on a waiting list and then finally seeing the practitioner who's going to tell you in that first visit, go eat an anti-inflammatory diet, get up out of your chair every hour and move around to oxygenate your body and to help detoxify, because your lymphatic fluid is your detoxification pathway and it'll be stagnant if you don't move. Hydrate for many reasons, and most importantly, deal with your stress. That's what you're going to get in your first practitioner visit anyway. So why sit on a waiting list for 6 months to see a nurse practitioner to tell you that and then spend another 2 or 3 months working on that? So we're going to not only encourage, but this is mandatory. Everyone that wants to see a practitioner has to go through the education program and the support program. And my hope and my belief, we'll do a recap at the end of the year to see if this came true or not, but at least 50% and closer to 90%, if we can do a good enough job supporting these people, of these folks will not need to see a medical practitioner. I just know that. I've seen it in over 10 years of doing this. So Veritas Wellness Navigators and the education support program, that's what we're going to focus on this year. And to the focus, meaning you can't even get to a practitioner until you graduate from this program. Now, I do want to say for you folks out there that are extremely sick, maybe you've already cleaned up your diet and your lifestyle some to a degree, and maybe your symptoms are just so significant you can't even get out of bed, or your pain and your brain fog or whatever disease process you have is just so in stage. That's kind of a secondary point of us doing this new program, is we will pluck you out of that education program as quickly as we can, and sometimes that could be in the first week, and get you to a practitioner. But I'm going to reiterate, I know almost 100% of the people that call us think they're in that category. But I'm going to give you an example. We had a young lady from Puerto La Vaca a couple months ago, and she was one of those on that six-month waiting list. She called last January and got on the waiting list for her appointment, you know, to be in September or something like that. But she started listening to the radio show, started implementing diet and lifestyle changes, and she went from bedbound on disability, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't take care of her kids and her husband and all that, and couldn't work or anything. For 2 years she'd been like that. And she went from that to she's out of bed. Not only out of bed, she's able to work and take care of her family. And I mean, she came to see us still. She kept her appointment because she was probably 60 or 70% better, but there are a few things she wanted to, try to knock out. But my point is, you know, you would have thought this is one of the really sick ones that'll need to get into the practitioner quickly. She's on disability and bedbound. And she got out of bed and got to working by implementing the four pillars without seeing a practitioner. So I just want to reiterate and encourage folks with that. We had another lady text me. Maybe we'll get her on to do a testimony, because that's the other focus of 2022 is testimonies. Even though conventional medicine says anecdotal reports are to be ignored, you can't trust anecdotal. Like, my grandma took ivermectin and got better. That's just an anecdotal, one case, one person's, you know, report, and that's not to be trusted. That's what medicine tells us. The experts tell us. But Scripture says the dragon will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints. So the testimony shouldn't be ignored. So we're going to get more of those. But I had she's a nurse. She was also out of work for, I think, 8 months here at a local facility. And she had some very unique symptoms, and really nobody could nail the diagnosis. And they were trying all kinds of different drugs to no avail, and she was just kind of getting worse. She never came to see us as a patient. I met her at a gathering just out in the community, and we visited for a little bit. She was listening to the radio show every week. She did have some friends who were well-versed in the four pillars to walk with her and encourage her and help her switch out her foods in her pantry and help cook for her and teach her these things. And it was a process. It probably took a year. But she sent me a picture from the top of Mount Olympia, I believe it was. I mean, her pain, her fatigue, her brain fog, all her symptoms got better, and she was never a patient. She did these basic things. And the basics are hard to do in the modern world. But that's why we have our navigators. That's why we have the program. That's why we have this dedicated approach to help folks get better and hopefully never have to see a practitioner. If we could shut down Veritas Medical, that would be the goal. We want to see people well. I think 2022 is going to be just continuing to be overwhelming amount of volume, seeking out the truth, seeking out true wellness, people wanting to steward their health so that they decrease their risk of getting COVID or having a bad response to COVID. And so that's what we're here for. It's not just COVID, it's flu. And I'm on a group text with doctors from around the country. And, man, this past few days, the texts have been all about the all kinds of weird bugs they're seeing in the urgent cares across the country with these physicians like Brian Tyson out in Imperial Valley. Not just COVID and flu, but some weird, you know, mycobacterium, just all kinds of weird bacteria that are cropping up. And Dr. Botke came out about 2 weeks ago. He's a German doctor. I interviewed him about a year ago about COVID. And Botke warned everybody that to be looking out for these weird bacteria, even TB. He predicted a huge resurgence in TB and these viruses, Epstein-Barr and other viruses, from the shot. The gene therapy shot suppresses the T-cell immunity, and the T-cells keep these latent bugs in check. Latent meaning they're in hibernation, basically. TB kind of can go into hibernation. All these other viruses, think of the chicken pox. You get that when you're a kid, and then it goes into hibernation. It can come out later as an adult as shingles. The T cells, especially in the adult years, they're primarily looking around in the body at all the different viruses you've ever been exposed to throughout your life that are maybe still in you, and it's keeping them suppressed. This non-FDA-approved, emergency use authorized experimental COVID gene transfer shot suppresses those T cells. So a lot of anecdotal reports from doctors around the world of reemergence of some of these background bugs that normally will be kept in check and kept in hibernation. So, I mean, there's going to be continued need for urgent and acute care, and we're going to try to provide that too as best we can. But it's going to overwhelm us, and it's going to overwhelm every doctor out there. There's no way we'll be able to just go chasing bugs and all these latent infections that reemerge. We've got to focus on the terrain. So this hope for an alternative healthcare system that some people are trying to build, and I know doctors out there doing it. I mean, they're talking about bringing hospitals online that are actually would allow IV vitamin C and allow some of these other things, ozone and ultraviolet blood irradiation, some of these complementary and alternative therapies that are non-patentable. There's no profit in them. Medicare, Medicaid, and insurance don't cover them. But what I've told every one of these guys, I'm not opposed to that, but that system's going to get just as overwhelmed. I mean, we opened up to the general public at our clinic, and we still are. Non-members can come in if you're sick, and we'll try to treat you. We had one just last week, came in from a conventional urgent care here in town, and they were going to admit this young lady, and I'm not going to argue about that. I mean, that doctor's made his judgment call. But the husband decided against medical advice, and he showed up at our clinic at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, 4:30 actually. And this girl had COVID. She was mid-30s. She was sick. Her lungs did not sound great, but I'd heard a lot worse. She was on oxygen, and her oxygen saturations were about 88. And I know this young lady, and she does deal with some anxiety in general. But that husband reported to me that the doctor at the urgent care told her, and I mean, he was being honest, but he said, "You're a very sick young lady. You're going to decompensate quickly. You need to be scared." I mean, he spoke fear over her. And with, for her personality in particular, I mean, but for anyone in that situation, you can't breathe, your oxygen level's low, we've been under a spirit of fear for 2 years, but especially in her case, knowing her history of anxiety, that just completely overwhelmed her. So then you get into upper chest breathing, hyperventilation, and panic attack, and all that. But my point is, so we treated her, started some therapies right there in the clinic, but the biggest thing we did was calm her down, get her to do some deep breathing exercises. We looked, got in her face and talked to her about the truth, and we prayed over her and dealt with the fear and anxiety that had consumed her. And the vitamin C drips take about an hour and a half. About halfway through that, I was talking to her, and I just reached over and turned her oxygen off. We had a pulse ox on her to measure her levels, and I just wanted to see what they would do. But you could just see the fear had come down. Her breathing rate had slowed down. Her heart rate was slowed down. You could just tell she was more relaxed. And by the end of that drip, and this wasn't because of the drip, I guarantee you, that can only do so much. Her oxygen level was 99%. On room air, not on oxygen. The next day she comes in, and my nurse, I wasn't available that day, my nurse practice recovering, but the nurse told me, called me and said, this is the most remarkable turnaround in 24 hours I've ever seen in my life. And I'm convinced it was the fear that had come over her. She went from sick as a dog about to be admitted to the next day, she had her hair done, her makeup on, and walked bebopping in. She wasn't totally well, but she was night and day. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. But where I was going before that was, our clinic will get overwhelmed too. Every clinic's going to get overwhelmed, and hospitals are overwhelmed and understaffed. And we can't just create an alternative hospital and healthcare system and still chase symptoms and germs. It's got to be the diet and the lifestyle. How can Sir William Osler, the founder of Johns Hopkins Medical School, and he's considered the founder of modern medicine, and by the way, he said the first duty of the physician is to teach the masses not to take medication. Now, he wasn't anti-medicine, I don't believe. He was anti just doing medicine and starting with medicine only, starting with symptomatic treatment only. Get to the root, deal with the root issue. I mean, it was the same time, 1902, I believe, it was Thomas Edison said the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, diet, lifestyle, nutrition, exercise, that kind of thing. So Sir William Osler says this, and then another famous quote of his, when they asked him, how many heart attacks have you seen in your practice? And this is late 1800s, early 1900s. He said, zero. The founder of modern medicine and founder of Johns Hopkins Medical School said he saw zero heart attacks in his entire career. And now heart disease is the number one killer at 650,000 people a year. What happened? What happened was the big three. Processed vegetable oil, Crisco, cottonseed oil came in early 1900s. And then soon after, corn oil, soybean oil, and these pro-inflammatory PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids, the margarines, all that, they changed our fat. They encouraged us to eat these processed vegetable oils, and they put a heart-healthy stamp on it. But that's one of the big three, processed vegetable oils and grain, processed grain. We've had Sue Becker on here a couple of times, and she's explained thoroughly the high nutrient value of fresh milled flour versus the enriched white flour that sits on your shelf. There's no nutritional value in that. If you consume that, you will get disease. And then processed sugar. Those are the big three. That's what changed. Weston A. Price showed this clearly. Many others have showed it clearly. It's the diet that changed. There's more stress. There's more sedentary lifestyle. It's these factors that drive heart disease and cancer. There used to be no cancer. The first reported cancer I can find was about 300 years ago, and there were a few, and it was in chimney sweeps. It was because it was a nasal and esophageal type of cancer in their airway from the toxins they were ingesting during their work and breathing in. Lung cancer was so rare in the early 1900s, they published every single case of it in the medical literature. Cancer is rooted in diet and lifestyle. Modern peer-reviewed literature proves it. Since everything's got to be peer-reviewed and proven by science, now we can't just use our common sense and historical perspective. But those are your top two killers. It is diet and lifestyle. We've got to come to terms with that. There's not an alternative healthcare system out there that can handle the crushing overload and burden of a society that won't change their diet and lifestyle. So I'm not going to be a party to supporting just this alternative healthcare system that's still going to just chase symptoms with the green version of symptomatic management. You know, the pharmaceutical companies are running the world right now. They're the highest, the number one highest dollars going to politicians. So politicians are, they're pharmaceutical puppets. The medical journals, they're advertising. The news, we were talking about it before we went on air. Local news, locals, quote-unquote local, where are they getting their marching orders from? Gray media in Atlanta, Georgia, where are they getting their marching orders from? Who's ever paying them? And it's, we know who's paying them. It's the pharmaceuticals, the number one advertisers, pharmaceuticals. The medical journals are advertised through pharmaceutical. The research dollars are coming in through the pharmaceuticals. So if your government, your media, your medical schools and research and journals are all influenced by pharmaceutical money, then you get what you pay for. Pharmaceuticals are always going to be the answer. But we can't just flip that to herbs and light and ozone and these cool therapies. And there's a time and place for them, I guess, while we're transitioning into the education of people getting their diet and lifestyle down. Anyways, going off on these tangents, I told my staff I'd do a quick 10-15 minute first part of the show. It's probably 30 minutes now. So anyone who wants to be a patient, just be aware we will do our best to get you in when needed to a medical practitioner. But I'm telling you, 90% of you, your goal should not be to see a medical practitioner. It should be to just get well and be healthy. Stay out of the medical offices. Stay in your wellness navigator's office. You need to know your wellness navigator very, very, very well. Have a strong, robust relationship with your wellness navigator and have a very limited to no relationship with your medical practitioner. That's the mindset you should have. That is the goal. That is the truth. You can do it. But we will be available to bridge the gap. If you're super inflamed and super symptomatic, there are a few things, you know, we could offer you, but that's not the answer. That is not your goal. Should not be to be sitting in our IV chairs getting vitamin C drips. That's not the goal. Okay, so that was my message to the folks that want to come see us. We're happy to see you. We want to see you. But the other good beneficial thing about this new program with the Wellness Navigators is that's not practice. The practice of medicine is defined by diagnosis and prescribing of pharmaceuticals. These navigators can't do that. They're not medical. They're not going to do that. They can't do that. They won't do that. They will talk diet and lifestyle. So that means they can do this across state lines. We're not limited by the Texas Medical Board rules. And we can counsel on diet and lifestyle to your family, friends, and loved ones in other states without them traveling to Lubbock and even across the globe. So if you're listening to this in Australia or wherever, we would be happy to jump on Zoom, one of our wellness navigators, jump on Zoom with you and do this education support program with you too. So this will broaden our reach, and we're happy to do that. Okay, so when we come back, we will talk about the unprecedented, never in the history of these life insurance companies have they seen a 40% increase in death in the 18 to 64-year-old group. Ever, never have they seen this. Once in every 200 years, you'll have this huge event. I forget what these life insurance companies term it. Call it, but it's a 10% increase. I mean, that's once every 200 years some major catastrophic thing will happen, and they'll see a 10% increase. 40% increase in death benefits they've paid out into the working group. This life insurance company, they insure working class people, not anyone else. So something happened to people working, and it seems obvious and apparent to anyone who's looking. It's the mandatory, non-FDA approved, emergency use authorized, experimental gene therapy injection that these workers have had to take. And why do I say that? Because there's plenty of evidence. And Pfizer knew it Well, I better not get into this. So when we come back from the break, I'll get into it. What did Pfizer know 90 days into this rollout? What did we know from their first 2 months of data they released? We're going to know a lot more because a judge told the FDA they got to release, I think it's 50,000 pages a month instead of 500. In the first 500 pages, we learned about those 1,200-plus deaths that they knew about in the first 90 days. We're going to talk about a professor from Columbia who said the underreporting factor on VAERS is 20x. So stick with us. When we get back, we'll bring some truth to what's really going on with this gene therapy injection and how it needs to be stopped immediately. Stick with us.
Yeah, stick around. We'll be back. Welcome back into the show. You're The Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archived shows, other important information to help you regain control of your health. You'll find it right there at VeritasMedical.com.
All right, Wade, we are back. Just real quick, summarize the first half. Jim Stewart just popped in here and asked for me to write it down. The four or five things I said at the top of the show.
Doctor, will you write that down?
So here it is, real quick. Number one, get up and move. If you're sitting in a chair for 8 hours a day, that position, that 90-degree angle at your waist, and you stay there for 8 hours, that's more detrimental to your health than smoking. Get up every hour and move around. That is simple. Hydrate. Best to hydrate with structured water. Mineral water, we had Mr. Campbell on a few weeks ago, the cattleman, talking about the sea salt, and get a quart jar, a couple teaspoons, I think it is, of sea salt in there, let it sit and soak up that salt for 2 or 3 hours, drink a pint of that a day, at least, get plenty of sea salt.
Would Himalayan work just as well?
Yep, Himalayan, Celtic, or Real, Redmond's Real are probably your top three, and there's others out there, but sea salt, not white, it needs to have color to it. So hydrate and move. Those are huge and simple and, easy to do. The two hard ones are, which they're not that hard, but that's just where the navigators will kick in and help you. Avoid the big three in your food. Processed sugar, processed grain, and processed vegetable oil. Which, unfortunately, it's in everything that's quick, easy, and cheap. And that's where you got to start thinking about changing your lifestyle a little bit. Quick, easy, and cheap. These habits that we have... they're hard to break, but you can do it. And once you do it, it's no problem. I was telling the guys during the break, I was sitting there making waffles this morning for the kids, and my daughter was making some donuts. People think, waffles and donuts, how's that healthy? Well, we've got a grinder on our kitchen countertop, and we pour the wheat berries in, and out comes the flour in 20 seconds. We had our cup of flour. And I use eggs from our chicken house, and I've got grass-fed butter. And, you just use the right ingredients. We used a little bit of organic maple syrup from Healthy Traditions, but not much, and tons of butter on it. If you're going to have a little carb and sugar, natural, there's actual nutrition in the natural sweeteners, like maple syrup and honey, and a little bit of that, and you eat some good fat and some protein with it. A balanced meal. But my daughter's donuts, she baked them, so they're the baked kind. But if she were going to fry them, she'd use coconut oil. No big deal. But again, she used the fresh milled grain. So these are the things the navigators can teach you. I'm not going to give out the hidden website. For those 700 people on the waiting list, in that email, there's a website we're using. It's actually a new website that we'll release to the public next month. So I'll announce that in February for the general public to get on, but we want to service those 700 people first. So check that email again, guys. Last one is be at peace. That's a whole different story. And we're going to focus on that. My wellness navigators have walked with so many people for so many years, and I would say they're some of the most spiritually mature folks out there. Of course, they're still growing and learning, as we all are. But this isn't stress management I'm talking about. This is get to the root of it, and the root of it's actually in our thinking. Our thoughts produce spoken word, and this spoken word has a huge impact. Now, you may think I'm crazy, and shout out to Jen. She knows who she is, one of our patients and friends out there. Texted my wife last night with a revelation of, everybody's so sick across the country, and how much of it was the curse Joe Biden put on the country when he got stood up right before Christmas and told everybody, you're going to be sick and die.
It just blows my mind. I cannot believe that.
Yeah. When you have the head of the executive branch speaking a curse over the country, when you have the head Supreme Court justices. So let's just get into this. Here's the top five lies I heard. I'm sure there's way more. I need to go back and listen some more. This is out of the Supreme Court on Friday. Listen to arguments on the OSHA mandate. Number one, the jab prevents transmission. I mean, my jaw dropped. You mean these nine justices with, I think they each have five clerks, there's 45 brains up there, and they can't see the obvious or in the literature? Or, I mean, where are they getting their talking points from? But they're going to base their judgment, their decision off of a lie? I mean, Pfizer even says it doesn't prevent transmission. Even Fauci says that. Lie number two, Omicron is as deadly as Delta. Just bald-faced lie. Omicron is literally a head cold. And the same time, actually before Joe Biden came out with his lie, before Christmas, the doctors in South Africa were telling us, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing sore throats, headaches, and the snotty nose, minimal cough, and a couple days it's done. We're not seeing the hospitalization rates. We're not seeing anything. So that's the doctors on the ground were saying. And now, and we've had a couple weeks of data come in now, so it's clear. Hospitalization rates are not up. Omicron is an upper respiratory from the neck up. And, I mean, I've talked to folks. Their throat hurt and neck hurt like crazy. And headache out the wazoo, thought their head was going to pop off. I mean, you're still sick. Lie number two, 100,000 children are in severe hospitalized condition with COVID. Many on ventilators. That's what Justice Sotomayor said. And I don't know who told her that. Fauci himself, just like a week or two ago, because HHS data shows it's like 3,300 kids in the entire country are hospitalized that have COVID on their chart. But Fauci came out and even said, a lot of those aren't there for COVID. They're there for appendicitis and broken legs and all this, and they just had a positive test. But even if all 3,000 of those were COVID admissions, 100,000. Serious condition is what the justice said. Next lie I heard out of the Supreme Court on Friday, vax mandates would prevent 100% of cases. That just makes no sense at all. I mean, 70% of cases in the U.S., the last time I looked, of Omicron were in the vaccinated, and 95% of German cases of Omicron were in the vaccinated. And then lie number five, hospitals will be overrun, or they are overrun. I would wager to say if a hospital is full, they have empty rooms, they just don't have staffed beds. Staffing is the main issue. And if it's not the main issue, I can almost guarantee the patients that are there did not get treated. Our hospitals would be full of kids with asthma attacks also if we quit prescribing albuterol, or if the pharmacists quit filling our prescriptions for albuterol, which is still happening today, prescribing for ivermectin and the other FDA-approved off-label drugs, getting denied by pharmacists still. Even physicians. I had a patient last week tell me her physician told her, and this was a VA, not here locally, but in Texas, it's a good thing you didn't take you didn't do something stupid like take ivermectin. A doctor said that. Anyways, let's move on. I just want people to see clearly that this deception, whether it's on purpose or not, make your own judgment call on that, but the deception is rampant all the way to the very top. I want to go back to the life insurance company. And by the way, all these things that I'm about to quote from, you can find on Veritas Medical Telegram page. I'm just going to go through that right now. There's a vaccinated and boosted Swiss marathon record holder and Olympic athlete, Fabini Schumpf, just diagnosed with myocarditis. Her career is put on hold. Hopefully that myocarditis will resolve. Some studies show a 50% five-year mortality rate on myocarditis. We don't know with this particular type of myocarditis induced by a spike protein because we haven't been in this kind of situation before. We don't have the data to show what's going to be the five-year mortality on this type of myocarditis. There was a pathologist, and it's way up on the Telegram page. It's not right in front of me, so this is from memory. I think it was from Germany. He did autopsies on 18 patients, aged 25 to 95. These were people that died. Not on their death certificate. They died from various diseases or problems, that not the vaccine. Gene therapy shot, excuse me. It's not a vaccine. 93% of the autopsy reports from this pathologist, he said the death was directly from spike protein autoimmune-induced organ failure. He found that spike protein and T cells, these killer T cells, in the tissue, in the various organs throughout the body. You should not have T cells attacking your organs. And that's what he found. So is this spike protein going to stay in this lady's heart, this Swiss Olympic record holder's heart, for a few weeks, a few months, forever? We don't know. You'll see on the Telegram page an interview with a physician who quotes a study from the Big Ten Conference. Big Ten collegiate athletes, 50% of them, they MRI'd their hearts. And these were just, it was a sampling of people. They didn't have symptoms. These weren't the athletes that had chest pain and shortness of breath and elevated troponins. They were asymptomatic, and they did MRIs on all of them, and 50% had MRI evidence of myocarditis. You'll see a story about in South Australia, vaccination increases the likelihood of hospitalization. Data coming out of the UK shows the same thing. Vaccinated and boosted patients have negative. The vaccine is inducing negative efficacy. What does that mean? It means not only does it not protect you, but it actually increases your risk of acquiring COVID infection. That's data out of the UK, and I believe that's across every age group now. There's a Mali soccer star, Osmani Koulibaly, 32-year-old star soccer player from Mali. He was in a game in Qatar this weekend, and on the field suffers a heart attack. Chest compressions were initiated. I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. You'll also see a story on the Stu Peters Show with a study that showed 1 out of 9 adolescents in the 15 to 18-year-old range reported a severe adverse reaction to the experimental non-FDA-approved emergency use authorized gene therapy injection. And just over 1% of adolescents with COVID were hospitalized. That means there's a higher rate of adverse reactions and hospitalizations. You also see the very sad story of Jack Thomas O'Drain, 13-year-old boy from New Jersey, died on January 4th. And the parents wanted to get the message out that they did not do their... They wish they had looked into the risk-benefit analysis on this injection. Jack died of a cardiac arrest that the parents believe was induced by the injection. You'll also see the ruling by the judge, 5,500 pages a month will have to be released from Pfizer instead of the 500 pages a month. And here's what's got me pretty focused on continuing to educate people about COVID. Is the increased rates of all-cause mortality. What does this mean? It means death from all causes. That's what the life insurance company, Indiana Life Insurance Company, said. There's a 40% increase in death in the year 2021 that they paid out life insurance death policies. Also, disability, short-term and long-term disability policy payouts are up. But the death payout was up 40%. They've never seen more than a 10% increase in the past, and 10% was once in every 200 years. It's unprecedented. This is in the 18 to 65-year-old range, and specifically it was not from COVID. The Freedom of Information Act request, Pfizer had to release those 50 pages, and they reported 1,223 deaths in the first 90 days, December to February, when the gene therapy injections first rolled out. Dr. Pantazados out of Columbia. Well, real quick, the underreporting factor, what is that? So we know VAERS is data collection for adverse events. Prior to COVID-19, I would say the vast majority, I'd put it probably even at 90% of physicians didn't know what VAERS was. Some still don't. They don't know how to report, and even ones that know how to report, it takes too long to report. There's a Steve Kirsch talks about a neurologist up in the upper northwest part of the country, has 2,000 vaccine-injured patients, and she hasn't reported one of them because it's so cumbersome or hard to do. She just doesn't have the time. And she wants to report, and she knows to report, but a lot of doctors don't. So this under-reporting factor, how many injured patients, either the doctor doesn't recognize it's a vaccine injury, the patient doesn't recognize it's a vaccine injury, or they do recognize and they just don't report for whatever reason. Prior to COVID, there was a Harvard study that looked at this, and they estimated that only 1% of adverse reactions get reported. There was another follow-up study, this was some years ago, I believe in 2011, that showed maybe it's 10%. So historically, we knew 1 to 10% of adverse events got reported. In January 2021, 187 deaths were reported on VAERS. That was in January of 2021. In 1 month, that was the report. Where historically on VAERS, you get about 150 to 160 cases of death reports an entire year from all vaccines combined. Flu shot, kids, all of them. So in 1 month, they got 187. That should have been a signal. Then in June, we had a Medicare whistleblower come out and state 45,000 deaths within 3 days of the shot in Medicare age group, and that's part of an ongoing lawsuit. And at the time, only 4,000 were reported on VAERS, so there was a clue to some underreporting in June. And then Steve Kirsch et al. Reported through an analysis, and we've had Steve on the show, underreporting factor is 41x. Jessica Rose published a study, and by her analysis, she estimated an underreporting factor of 31x. So right now, currently on VAERS, I believe we're at about 21,000 deaths reported. So let's multiply that by 41. That's 861,000 deaths reported. That would be Steve Kirsch estimate. Jessica Rose at a 31x, that would put it at 651,000 deaths if her underreporting factor is correct. Then there's Kostoff. Kostoff, 100x is his estimate. And then the Columbia professor last month, Pantazatos, Pantazatos, 20x is his underreporting factor. So these guys are looking at and doing these estimates through various mathematical statistical analyses and coming up with these various numbers. So if you go with Pantos, he's at 420,000 deaths. The Freedom of Information Act request, I mentioned 1,223 deaths in the first 90 days. And then you have the life insurance company saying there's a 40% increase in death. And then when we look at all-cause mortality, the UK data in particular, every age group, even children, since the UK health minister announced kids should be given this injection, there's been an elevation in all-cause mortality compared to years past in that age group. It's a very difficult situation that we're in. Obviously, I think there's a lack of informed consent. There's a lack of this type of information. Making front page news and headline news, gray media is not going to put it out there. And I kept picking on gray, but it's all of them. Six main media companies.
Five control it all.
Yeah, so probably these five media companies that control the information aren't going to report anything I just said.
Back in 1983, there was 54.
Yeah.
And nowadays, we have five major medias that control 95% of all broadcast, radio, print, billboard, internet, all of it.
Yep.
It's insane.
Yep, it is. And even, unfortunately, doctors get their information from these media sources, too. And as I've already mentioned, the medical journals and the AMA, all these institutions, the TMA, they're all influenced. Just as we're sitting here on the show, I get a text from the group doctor text I'm on from these physicians around the country who are frontline doctors treating. And one of them reports, my aunt just died within 5 days of getting her booster. She felt fine the day she got it. Now, someone who's only been sitting under the conventional media and institutional news, I'm talking about doctors, if they heard what I just said, they will automatically go to, well, that's coincidence. That was random. It just happened to happen. It was going to happen anyways. And that's possible. But that's what Steve Kirsch, Jessica Rose, Martin Kostoff, and Pantazotos, they factor that in. There's a thing called the Bradford Hill criteria for causality. So did that booster cause this doctor's aunt to die? There's 10 different things you can look at to minimize the statistical odds ratio that it would have happened anyways, or no, it was the booster that caused it. And Jessica Rose showed clearly in her paper that those 10 criteria have been met. The Bradford Hill criteria for causality has been met. If you'd like to challenge that, Steve Kirsch has a $1 million reward. There's an independent panel of scientists that will be the judge between Kirsch's team and you if someone at Texas Tech or UC San Francisco or anywhere else, CDC, FDA, Texas Health Department, who couldn't use $1 million? What institution couldn't use $1 million in their research budget? Is it debatable? Of course it's debatable. But there becomes a point where the preponderance of the evidence is going to tip the scale, and we're past that point. So what is the stop point? It's not 21,000 deaths. Is it 50,000? Is it 100,000? Where are we at? No one will answer that either, by the way. That question's been posed to the FDA. What's the stop point? It used to be 5, 10, 25 deaths historically on any new product coming to market. We were way past that. Anyways, we will focus this 2022 on bringing the truth. We'll focus on supporting your diet and lifestyle changes so that you can stay out of hospitals, clinics, including ours. And we'll continue to encourage you to be who God made you to be. Don't let fear influence your decisions. The devil is alive and well, and he operates through our thinking. And if he puts a thought in your head and you agree with that thought, then he just took authority over your life. And if you're making a decision to stay in a job or stay in a wherever in your life based out of fear, then you're being influenced by the father of all lies. So we'll continue to dig into that more too. And this alternative parallel economy health system, we'll continue to dig into that too. And we're going to have more and more of our patients on, giving their testimony, telling their stories, to encourage all of y'all out there that you can walk in truth and love and not fear, and you can be well. Even if a doctor has condemned you and told you, condemned you to death, or condemned you to be fearful and be admitted and get on a ventilator. Doctors aren't God. God is God. He's sovereign. He loves you. Put you here for a reason and a purpose. He gave you a call on your life and gifts to support that call. And we want to encourage you here so that you can walk that out, and it'll benefit all of us. If I'm doing what God's called me to do and all of y'all are doing what God's called you to do, then there we go. The body of Christ on the earth is functioning in love, loving each other, loving your neighbor, helping each other out. Maybe next week that's what we'll do. We might talk about the way Jesus told us to go. I'm learning a lot more about what Jesus was really coming here for. Yeah, it was to save us, but beyond that, it was to show us how to walk in this earth, living with our fellow man and loving your neighbor. I found out that there's over 1,000 references to government in the scripture. There's 5 references to religion. 4 of those are negative, by the way. And the one that's not, it says pure, true, pure, unadulterated religion is taking care of the widows and orphans, the social welfare, free will offering. That's what Jesus said to do. If we would love our neighbor, there are two commandments he said, love God and love your neighbor. And if true religion is taking care of the needy, those that can't take care of themselves, there's your social welfare, but it's all done through free will offering, not forced. There's a government of God, the government of the kingdom. So maybe we'll talk about that more next week. All right, Wade, time is up. Everybody be encouraged. 2022 is going to be a great year. God's going to continue to move and reveal as the enemy continues to double down. I called for repentance months ago. The only way out of this thing is for our officials and people of authority to repent, admit they were wrong about masks, lockdowns, the shot, all of it, suppressing early treatment. If we could admit it, confess it, repent, and turn and go the other way. It's our way out. Well, it's not happening. They're doubling down, actually, from the very top. So as evil continues to double down, God's going to double down more, and we'll be just fine. So y'all keep your chins up and look up to God, not me. God's in charge, not me. But we'll try to keep being a voice of truth and love. So looking forward to a great 2022, Wade.
And don't forget the Wellness Expo, Health and Wellness Expo, coming up at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center. That's going to come up Saturday the 22nd. You'll be a keynote speaker at that event, along with others, but that will be a great time for people to come out and learn about these four pillars, meet a whole wide variety of other health-related businesses, and that'll be a great time. And so you definitely want to make the investment to venture on out on Saturday the 22nd to the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, not only to hear you speak at around 9:30 that morning, but also all the other presenters and speakers and all the businesses. It's a great opportunity if you want to get your health back on track on 2022. It's a great place to start at the Wellness and Health Expo.
Yeah, can't wait to be there, Wade. It was so awesome 2 years ago. It was sad we had to cancel last year, but it'll be great. It was a super great crowd last time. So many great booths and presenters, and I'm honored to be speaking that morning. And I know there's lots of other great speakers, too, lined up throughout the day. So it's going to be an all-day event. It's going to be awesome. So thank you all for putting that on, Debbie and Melody out there. Thank you all for all your hard work.
Absolutely. And you've been listening to the Dr. Ben Edwards Year the Cure program right here on AM 580 and 95.9. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. You can see it all at VeritasMedical.com.